Come and see, come and follow, come and deny, come and rest, come and fish. Ordinarily, if we were to get that many invitations, we'd freak out. How do I RSVP to all of those? We'd be overwhelmed. But these are no ordinary invitations. These are invitations from Jesus to his followers that we have been opening and exploring in the hopes that we RSVP to them with all of our heart and with all of our lives. Jesus invites us through these invitations into deeper relationship with him and into a deeper, more abundant life lived in his service and on mission with him. Come and see invites us to experience Jesus as he is, what he's like. Come and follow invites us to apprentice ourselves to Jesus in love so that through his love we become more like him. Come and deny invites us to say no to that false self that wants to seize and secure our own life so that we might experience new life with Jesus. Come and rest invites us to experience the unforced rhythms of his grace as he walks with us. Come and fish invites us into the work of drawing people to God and making disciples. Today we finish up our sermon series with a final invitation from Jesus, the invitation to come and receive the Spirit. And we pray together. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit on us who are gathered here. Open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. Listen for God's word. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. A newly promoted employee sits nervously and excitedly in the boardroom as company leaders begin to speak. She's just been promoted to a new position that has just been created, and she's waiting to hear the details. The CEO speaks, "We're sending you out to lead this brand new, newly created department into the next phase of our company's plans to expand operations. We hope that you will continue to do all of the things that have made this company so successful." The young woman thinks, "Me? I couldn't possibly do this. Can I do this?" The CEO continues, "But we'll help you and we'll empower you and we'll give you all that you need to do this well. You're the right person for this job." I couldn't possibly do that. Could I do that? Have you ever found yourself asking and wondering that question, particularly thinking about Jesus sending you out to do his work, living for him as his witness, continuing his mission and ministry, thinking about operating as a Jesus follower in the world, in a culture, in a society full of challenges and hardships and difficulties and uncertainties? Jesus, I'm imperfect. I don't have it all figured out. I'm unsure. I'm tired. And Jesus says, "I'm asking you to be the leaders that continue this kingdom movement that I started as we move into the next phase of operations. I hope that you will continue to do the things that made this kingdom movement transformational." And the disciples back then, and we today think to ourselves, We couldn't possibly do that. Could we do that? And the answer, of course, is no. At least, not under our own power. The truth is, you would have been hard-pressed to find a group of people who felt more utterly powerless than those followers of Jesus gathered together, hiding in that upper room. They had just experienced profound communal trauma. They had seen Jesus tortured and killed on a cross. They had seen his lifeless body placed in a cold, dark tomb. It's now the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene, one of them, has just told them a too-good-to-be-true story about meeting the resurrected Jesus. And it's like they are all holding their collective breath behind those locked doors, fearful and utterly powerless. And then lo and behold, Jesus comes, the risen Christ comes and stands among them. Jesus just appears out of nowhere. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The very thing he had said to them after telling them earlier in the gospel that he would be leaving them soon and going back to the Father. He told them that because he was going to go back to the Father, that they would continue his work and even do greater work. He promised that he would not leave them orphaned, but would send a Holy Spirit, a companion to be with them forever, to teach them everything and remind him of what he had told them. Peace be with you. And then he shows him his hands and his side as if to say, it's me, it's really me. And this is proof that God's love is stronger than the absolute worst that the world is capable of. It's me, Jesus, personally present with you right here, right now. Of course, the disciples are filled with indescribable joy. And then Jesus immediately gives a command. They don't have much time to just be in that joy. Just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And Jesus' disciples, still in full-blown fear recovery mode, confused, filled with joy, must have been thinking, wait, what? Us? We couldn't possibly do that. Could we do that? Jesus was sent to preach the gospel, to deliver people from the power of evil, to usher in God's kingdom, to bring people into God's family. Yeah, no, Jesus said one day we'd have to go to the Father and that we would do even greater works than he did, but is that time now? Are we going to be on our own? We couldn't possibly do that, could we? The answer, of course, is no. Not under their own power, not on their own. But Jesus isn't finished. He extends an invitation. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation to receive the personal presence of God, empowering them to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus. This is Jesus saying, I will help you and I will empower you and I will give you what you need to do it well. You're the right people for the job. And just as Jesus showed them his scarred hands and side to say, it's me, it's really me, personally present with you right now, this invitation is Jesus saying, it's going to be me, really me, personally present in you from now on. This invitation is the opportunity to be equipped and empowered for the far greater things that Jesus has in mind for them. And did you notice that he breathes on them? He makes this invitation. This is such a powerful little detail. It's a hyperlink to Genesis when God created, and the first day God created, remember John says it's the first day of the week, and God created God's breath or God's wind swept across the dark primordial chaos to bring about life and light. That same creative in the midst of chaos power is offered to the disciples in the new creation that Jesus has just made possible with his resurrection. Later in the creation story in Genesis, God forms humanity from the dust of the earth, breathes into him the breath of life into his nostrils, and he becomes a living being who God wants to help God rule the world in love and care to bring about more order and beauty and flourishing. That same life-giving and empowering for a purpose Spirit is then offered to the disciples who Jesus wants to help him continue his mission and kingdom project. Jesus offers this invitation to a group of outcasts without power, fearfully hiding behind locked doors. He does this, he does not ask them to conquer their fears or to do this work on their own, under their own power, only to receive and rely on the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Friends, Jesus makes this same invitation to us. The same amazing invitation to receive the Holy Spirit, to rely on God's personal, empowering, and equipping presence in us. Because we are implicated in Jesus' ongoing work. Jesus is sending us as he was sent. He's sending us into the world to love and serve, to confront the forces of evil, to work for justice, to show mercy, to invite people into God's family, to bring about more order and beauty and flourishing, to expand his kingdom, to preach and embody the good news of his death and resurrection. We're going to need all the help we can get. Thank God we have it in the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence in us. If we're being sent by Jesus as he was sent by his Father, then we need to RSVP to this invitation to rely on the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they were hiding because they were afraid. They were hunkered down in an upper room. I wonder if we're like that sometimes. I wonder if we ever hunker down in our metaphorical upper rooms with the doors locked because we're afraid to step out of our comfort zone of, can it be just you and me, Jesus, and all nice and private and safe and cozy? Or maybe we're afraid of rejection. Or maybe we're afraid of failure. Or maybe we're afraid of disappointment. Jesus invites us to receive the Holy Spirit. It's not, has not, will never be all up to us. The Spirit wants to animate us. The Spirit wants to empower us. The Spirit wants to blow us, propel us out into the world to continue Jesus' mission. We can't just stay in our prayer closets or upper rooms or church buildings or tucked away places. We are the next phase of Jesus' mission and ministry. On the other hand, however, we can't just fall back on being self-empowered either. If the disciples were self-empowered, relying on their own strength and wisdom, I'm betting that they would have either gone back to their own lives, their old lives and former careers, like show's over, okay, time to go home. Or they may have tried to carry out God's mission under their own power and their own strength, which probably would not have worked. Doesn't work for us either, does it? Doesn't work for the church. It's like witnessing, which I'm sure we all have, the confident efforts of a toddler defiantly insisting that they can do it by themselves with no help, only to witness just moments later the tears and the frustration when they hit the wall and they realize they actually can't, they need help. We've all experienced this too. And the church has as well. Eventually something happens and we realize that we can't get through under our own power and strength. We can only say yes to doing God's work in the world if we've said yes to God's Spirit working in us. We can only say yes to doing God's work in the world if we've said yes to God's Spirit working in us. This invitation is to not blaze ahead of God under our own power and wisdom, but to rely on the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. When we RSVP this invitation, we, like the disciples, go from holding our collective breath, wondering if we can pull this thing off, to breathing in his breath. We go from hiding with crushed or anxious spirits to being sent out, propelled by the Holy Spirit. And if you look in the book of Acts, further in the New Testament, after the disciples received the full measure of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there are all of these powerful stories that feature the phrase, full of the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, enabled by the Spirit. In Acts 4, for example, Peter and John are confronted by Jewish leaders because they just healed a crippled man. And they ask them, by what power or name did you do this? The answer, of course, wasn't their own power, their own name. The Holy Spirit working in them and through them. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, shocked the leaders because he spoke so confidently and clearly and with authority about forgiveness of sins and repentance through Jesus. By the way, just like Jesus said when he said the Spirit would give them the power and authority to proclaim a message that could release people from their sins. The Holy Spirit in them is the reason. They are continuing the work of Jesus only in and through the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Spirit. What might be your or our because of the Holy Spirit moment that comes from RSVPing to Jesus' invitation? Because of the Holy Spirit, I came to church for the first time in years. Because of the Holy Spirit, I forgave my friend. Because of the Holy Spirit, I had the courage to act on a dream or a vision. Because of the Holy Spirit, I stepped up to serve and volunteer. Because of the Holy Spirit, I joined a small group. Because of the Holy Spirit, I stood up for justice. Because of the Holy Spirit, I had an amazing conversation with a neighbor about Jesus. Because of the Holy Spirit, I invited my work colleague to church. Because of the Holy Spirit, I'm raising a kid as a single parent and teaching them about Jesus. Because of the Holy Spirit, we are able to be in relationship with difficult people just like us in church. Because of the Holy Spirit, we're connecting people with Jesus in Roseville and Wake Forest and Youngsville and Raleigh and Lewisburg. Because of the Holy Spirit, we're becoming more generous and inclusive in our welcome and more resolved in our commitment to justice and anti-racism. Because of the Holy Spirit, what began as a small group meeting in a home became a church that's one day going to outgrow this space. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have met and become blessed neighbors with Spanish-speaking friends in Granite Acres. Because of the Holy Spirit, .. Yes, come and receive, come and rely on the Holy Spirit. What an amazing invitation. Like, we should be in awe. You know, we're often in awe of some of the heroes of the Bible, like David and Moses and Elijah and Mary. We think, David, what must it have been like to have the courage to defeat Goliath? Or Moses, what was it like to stand on the top of Mount Sinai in the presence of God? Or Elijah, what was it like to call down fire from heaven to consume the idol? Mary, what was it like to hear an angel tell you that you were going to give birth to God's son? But what if they're equally in awe of us? All in wonder of what we have access to. What if they're wondering with wide eyes, hey, what is it like to have the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence living inside you? What is it like to continue the work of the Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? What's that like? Come and receive Holy Spirit. Say yes to relying on the Holy Spirit. That's the invitation. We have been sent by Jesus, and we need power, we need guidance for a lifetime on mission. We receive power in the form of God's personal presence dwelling inside of us for the work of engaging and continuing Jesus' saving work in the world. God with us is amazing and powerful. So too is God in us. I'm asking you to be leaders of this, that continue this kingdom movement that I started. As we move into the next phase to expand operation, Jesus says, I hope that all of you will continue the very things that have made this kingdom movement so transformational. Us? We couldn't possibly do that, could we? Could we do that? What might the Holy Spirit empower you to do if you really said yes to Jesus' invitation to rely on God's personal presence inside of you? The world is holding its breath.